Okay. Great job, everybody. Again, I want to welcome you too. If you slipped in after the announcements, my name is Steve, and I'm one of the pastors here. Greetings to you. If we haven't met yet, I would love to meet you. And if you're new with us or newly with us, you came on kind of a weird Sunday because we're in Daniel chapter 12. It's not weird for us, but it might be weird for you if coming in new, okay? And we're finishing up the book of Daniel. So if you're just kind of if you've just kind of dropped in, just bear with us, okay? There might be a lot that you've missed. But we are in Daniel chapter 12. Church, why don't you open your Bibles now to Daniel chapter 12. As I said earlier, we're landing the plane this morning in our study of Daniel. This is message, I believe, number 22, as we have journeyed through every verse of Daniel. And you know, this is a good reminder as we finish another book, why we preach through the scriptures. It's because we believe that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is true. We believe that all scripture is profitable, right? That the whole counsel of God is profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that all of it is God's word, and therefore it's really important that we deal with all of it. Right? So we deal with the things that are hard, and we deal with the things that are easy. We deal with the things that we have a hard time swallowing and responding to, and we deal with the things that are easy for us. We preach through books of the Bible because we believe that the whole Bible is God's word. Okay, and so we're ending Daniel this morning. As we get into Daniel chapter 12, if we kind of cast our minds way back, message number one in Daniel chapter one, there was this young man named Daniel. He was a teenager, maybe 14 years old, maybe 16 years old. Young man, right? When we began, Daniel was a young man in his teens. And in chapter 12 here, as we've seen, he's an older man in his 80s, well into his 80s, at least 85, 88, maybe 90 years old. Okay, and what we've seen through the book of Daniel, we've seen a lot, but one of the things we've seen, a thread, is a pattern of life, a pattern of faithfulness we've seen in this man Daniel, a pattern of faithfulness to the end of his life, okay? And just like in chapter 12, I mentioned this last week, this angel mentions that those who are wise and those who lead many to righteousness shall be like stars that shine in the darkness. That's been Daniel's life, right? He has been through his teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and into his 80s in exile in Babylon, in the darkness of exile and a foreign land. He has shone like a star as he's lived faithfully for God. Right? And in chapter 12 here, we're wrapping up the final vision that Daniel's given, okay? And in that vision, so as we started it last week, or actually back in chapter 10, in that vision, we've seen that we're Daniel's given a glimpse and we're given a glimpse into the end times. That's what we're talking about today. Into the end times and the things that must come to pass before Jesus Christ returns. Okay? And what we're seeing and what we're going to see today as we wrap up Daniel is that as the end draws closer, as the end draws near, we too are called to live faithfully, right? Faithfully to the end. We're called to live faithfully to the end. We're called to shine the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness of this world and our Babylon. Well, that's what we're called to. And this is how Daniel chapter 12 encourages us. So there's some hard stuff in chapter 12. There's also a ton to encourage us. And there's a ton to give us hope. Okay? So what we're going to do as we're going to just kind of take it in pieces. But what we're going to focus on five truths, okay? Five truths that bring hope and joy and strength as we live faithfully, as we follow Jesus faithfully to the end in our Babylon, okay? And we're just going to take them one at a time. And we're going to start in verse 1. So let's look at Daniel 12:1, and let's look at the first truth. That's a general truth that we've seen throughout the book, right? But it's an important truth, a truth that God will rescue his people out of trouble. We see that in verse 1, as we've seen it dozens of times in Daniel. Daniel 12:1. This angel says, at that time, talking about the time of the Antichrist, that's where we left off last week. At that time, the time of the coming of the Antichrist, shall arise Michael, the great prince. Remember, he's an archangel. Already kind of talked about that. Who is in charge of your people? Who's in charge of the people of Israel? Who's in charge of God's people? And there shall be in that time a time of trouble such has never been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Okay. So we've already covered the details of that time that this angel is referring to when he's kind of showing Daniel the rest of this vision. We've already covered the details of that time, the time of the coming of the Antichrist. And so I just want to cast your minds back, okay, and just refer you back to Daniel chapter 7, 8, and 9. Now, if you really want to dive deep or go back into the details of that time, read Daniel 7, 8, and 9 in those visions. And also go back to those messages, right? Especially in Daniel 9, a message that I called the 70 weeks, right? Dealing with the 70 weeks in that vision in Daniel 9. Go back to that message, okay? If you're a little bit lost or if you want to go deeper again into the details of the coming of the Antichrist, okay? And also a couple messages that I called Antichrist's past, present, and future from Daniel chapter 9 as well. Okay, so you can go back into those. I'm not going to rehash all of that. What we've seen in the scriptures throughout the book of Daniel, especially the second half, especially 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, okay? What we've seen in the scriptures, things will get worse and worse as the conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan intensifies and escalates to the climax of human history. That's what these visions are about. That's what this last vision is about, okay? And, you know, one of the great lies of our time, of our culture, of secular culture, one of the great lies of, like, a secular worldview or a secular way of seeing the world is this, right? It's that society is improving and it's progressing as God is rejected and self is exalted. That's a great lie in our culture. And that's a great lie in a secular way of looking at the world, whether that's liberal or whether that's conservative, okay? A secular worldview says that personal freedom, human freedom, is the solution to the human condition, okay? And it says that society is progressing and evolving and improving as we turn away from God and as we exalt ourselves. But in reality, we see in the scriptures, we see it in experience, we see it in the world around us. In reality, things are getting worse and worse, right? It's hard to deny that. Especially over the last few and several years, it's hard to deny that things are getting worse and worse. Scripture tells us that that trajectory will continue, family, until the Antichrist comes to establish himself as we've already seen, world ruler, okay, and to exalt himself as God to be worshipped. And we've already seen that at that time, this person called the Antichrist, as he rises, will turn his rage against the people of God, and there will be a time of trouble and hardship. Tribulation is a word that the scriptures use that human history has never seen. And that's saying a lot. Amen? That's saying a lot, family. John Lennox, a guy that I appreciate a lot. He's from Northern Ireland. I love his accent. I also love his intellect. He's a mathematician. He's a Christian apologist. He's a brilliant guy. He has written many books, and he's also debated guys like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, and he's someone I like to read. Here's what he says this about Daniel 21. He says, it's hard to get one's mind around this grim statement about Daniel 12:1. It's hard to get one's mind around this grim statement. The time of Antiochus, talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, was horrendous. If you remember that, about 167 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes, ruler of what was the, I would say, the Seleucid or the Syrian Empire at that time. He came in, he sacked Jerusalem, he suspended the daily offerings, and he set out up an altar of Zeus in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and then he sacrificed a pig there, and he slaughtered thousands of Jews. Right? We already saw that Antiochus was kind of a foreshadowing of this Antichrist to come. So he says it's hard to get one's mind around this grim statement. The time of Antiochus was horrendous, as was the period around the later fall of Jerusalem. The same thing happened basically in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed by the army of Caesar and the Roman general Titus. We've already talked about that. The same kind of thing happened again. He said the Holocaust beggars description. That's a British term that means it surpasses description. Okay? The Holocaust surpasses description. But Daniel indicates that there is even worse to come at the end. Okay? Now, we don't know when this will come, but we know it will come. And we know that God will deliver his people. So this is the promise that gives us hope and joy and confidence as we live faithfully to the end. God will deliver his people out of trouble. He'll do it through the divine help of Michael the archangel. We see that in Daniel 12. But you know what? He's ultimately going to do that through the second coming of King Jesus. And if you want to read more about that, read Revelations chapter 16 through 19, okay? 16, 17, 18, and 19, and you will see the deliverance that's coming for the people of God through King Jesus. So there's rescue coming, right? And there's rescue coming at that time, but it's not just at that time, family. There's rescue coming all the time and every time, right? The scriptures promise the people of God. The scriptures promise us who follow Jesus that God will give and bring divine help and rescue out of that trouble. Doesn't promise that we're going to be rescued from trouble, but he promises that we're going to be rescued out of it. It's a promise. I want you to remember this. I want everybody to look at me for a second. I love all the Anglo amens you're writing. That's like, you know, I'm like, that's a lot of amens going on when you're writing and taking notes. But I want you to remember this, okay? When you feel helpless, when you feel hopeless, when you feel alone, right? Those things are never true of you in Christ, ever. Okay? I feel somewhat hopeless sometimes in the moment, until I believe the lie, repent of it, and embrace what's true. I feel alone sometimes, and I do feel helpless more often than I would like to admit. But when you feel those things, they're never true of you in Christ. They're never true of me in Christ. I want you to turn with me to Romans 8 for a moment, okay? Romans 8, look at verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Just want to remind us that God will deliver his people out of trouble. He'll do it in that time in the end, and he'll do it up until that time. He'll do that for you, and he'll do that for me. Romans 8:18. part of a larger section, but Paul is talking about future glory and the things to come. And he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Okay? He's like, hey, this present suffering, I consider that it's not worth comparing with the glory that's coming. Okay? And again, God's not promising to deliver us from trouble, but he's promising to deliver us out of it. Okay? Now look, we're going to skip down to verse 35. This is a promise, okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, whether it's that great tribulation that's coming or the tribulation now, shall tribulation or distress, shall persecution separate us from the love of Christ? Shall nakedness or famine, shall poverty separate us from the love of Christ? Shall danger or sword or death? Absolutely not. Look at 37, skip a verse. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Has anybody ever seen Roadrunner cartoons? Okay, do you remember Wile E. Coyote, super genius? Remember that? Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Well, you can insert your name, and I can say Steve Couch, super conqueror. And it's actually true. It wasn't true of Wile E. Coyote. He wasn't a super genius, but I am a super conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror, and so are you through the love of God in Jesus Christ, okay? And then he goes on in 38, and he says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present or things to come, nor powers, the forces of hell, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ and the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? So the point is, deliverance is coming. It's here, and it's finally going to come. All right? So we can be confident. We can have hope. We can walk with joy as we remain faithful to the end, whatever end that is. Amen? All right, well, now let's look at verse 2. Here's the second truth to guide us, to strengthen us, to follow faithfully to the end, to follow Jesus faithfully to the end. And that's this. The second truth is that life is not the end, which may seem obvious, but I don't think it is. I think we need to go here because Daniel goes here. This current life is not the end. That's the second truth that's going to anchor us and guide us and give us hope and security and joy. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's what the angel reveals to Daniel. And now here's what we need to grab a hold of, okay? As people who have the whole Bible, see the whole revelation of God, Old and New Testament, you are an eternal being, and so am I. That is the truth, okay? There will come a time in everyone's story, my story included, when we'll take our last breath. I will take my last breath, and I will physically die, and so will you, okay? But that's not the end. It's not the end of my story, and it's not the end of your story, whoever you are. Verse 2 gives us a glimpse of what happens after you die and after I die. At God's appointed time, everyone will experience a bodily resurrection. That's in our future. But not everyone will be raised to eternal life. Look at verse 1. Who will be rescued? Everyone whose name that shall be found in the book of life. Everyone whose name is in the book of life shall be rescued. I want to give us a fuller picture of this in Revelation 20. Instead of going there, we're going to put it on the screen. Revelation 20, 12 through 15 is a fuller, more complete picture of what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, when the Antichrist is put down, okay? There's going to be a bodily resurrection from the dead. In Revelation 20, 12 to 15, And the Apostle John, as he's seeing all these visions, he says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life." So here's the book of life again. "And the dead were judged by what was written in the book, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up its dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." Death and Hades, Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, all who have rebelled against God and King Jesus, okay? Then all of them, all who were, death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. This is what the Bible calls hell, okay? It's not so much about a place as it is about presence. Not that it's not a place, but it's a place where the presence of God, the love of God, the restraining grace of God is absent, okay? It's a place where there's judgment that we deserve for our sin. Okay, and verse 15, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the fire." Okay, in Revelation 21, 27, just in the next chapter, you can just write that down, Revelation 21, 27. There's a picture of this new Jerusalem. There's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new city of God, Jerusalem. And it's revealed... It says that only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be able to enter. And so the Book of Life is the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? And when we're judged according to what we've done or not done, we're judged in relation to whether we're covered or not with the blood of the Lamb, whether we're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether we trust in what He's done for us, okay? And so the worst thing that can happen in life isn't to die. That's not the worst thing that can happen. But to die without knowing Jesus, that's the worst thing that can happen. And the most important question that we can ask, or I can ask, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the most important question. And it's the most important question for me, okay? And how do I know, no matter how moral, no matter how generous, no matter how good you are, no matter how much your good outweighs your bad, your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life unless you've been washed clean by the sacrifice and the work and the blood of the Lamb, right? Your name isn't written in the book of Lamb's Book of Life unless you've been washed clean of your sin and you've been covered by the righteousness of Jesus. And how does that happen, right? It's a gift of grace. We receive it by faith. We receive it by repenting or turning away from being God of our own life and trusting in Jesus and what He's done, right? And here's the amazing thing. God just doesn't want to save us from hell. God loves you so much that He made a way for you out of the judgment that we all deserve and back to Himself, back to His presence, back to His eternal family. That's the heart of God and the love of God, right? If you've received that gift, and if you respond and you're following Jesus, you can look forward to that day. If you've received that gift, you will be responding and following Jesus. And you know what? For us, we can look forward to that day, family. And if you haven't received Jesus, you can. And you can look forward to that day. And your future is secure. So that's the second thing. Let's keep going. Verses 3 and 4. The third truth that guides us and strengthens us to live faithfully to this end. That security comes through the wisdom of God's word. Security comes through understanding and through responding to God's word. Verses 3 and 4. "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the coming of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Now, this is kind of confusing, but here's what I think this means. I know that verse 4 marks the end of this final vision, okay? And at the conclusion, Daniel's told to write it all down and seal it up in a book, okay? And what I believe this means is to shut up and to seal these things. It doesn't mean to hide them or to keep them secret, okay? I believe it means to preserve them and to guard them as complete, that this is the word of God. Guard them, preserve them so they're not added to, so they're not changed, okay? And I believe when he says that, do that until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. What I think that means is that these things, they're not going to be understood until the end, some of them. Some of the things in this vision, some of the things in these visions, they're not going to be understood until the end, okay? When they're happening, and at that time, knowledge will increase, knowledge of them will increase, they'll become more clear. He says, until that time, you need to guard this, and you need to treasure it, okay? And as we move closer to the end, these things will become more and more and more clear as we're living them. That doesn't mean that we're going to have all the answers, family, or that God is going to reveal all of his mysteries or all the things that are secret, from our perspective, right? But it does mean that God's going to reveal, and he does and he will reveal everything that we need to know through his word. And that's the point. And that brings security. That brings security. So we're to treasure his word, all of it, okay? And we're to live by it. And that brings security. That's an anchor as we move through dark times and hard times and tribulation. So to treasure God's word now, every day, is to prepare ourselves to treasure and live by it in those days, the last days, or the times of hard tribulation in our life, okay? To be prepared to treasure those things in the big tribulation means that we treasure them and we live by them now, every day. And you know what? To treasure God's word and live by them now, every day, is to prepare our kids to treasure and live by them. Not now, but in that day as well. To be ready, okay? Right? If we treasure God's word, if we live by it, and if we do that together and we build one another up in it, we're going to be growing in trusting God, trusting the promises of the gospel. We're going to grow in security so that no amount of persecution or death will be able to remove our names from the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll grow in security that's true as we're in God's word. Do you need that kind of security? Nothing, no one can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. God will deliver you out of whatever trouble, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your great-grandchildren. Do you need that? We treasure God's word, and we live by it, right? And by doing that, in that security, then here's what happens. Our lives overflow with joy. God's working with me right now. I'm not in a season of joy. I'm fighting for the perspective of joy. And you know how I fight for the perspective of joy? I learn how to live in his grace. Let him be God. Let me receive his grace. And he teaches me joy, okay? But I'm telling you, in that security, our lives will overflow with joy. And we're going to shine like stars in the darkness. We're going to lead many to Jesus. Not just by the sure working because we know we should or we have to or whatever, but because we are so overflowing with the security of God's love for us and the security that his promises are true. That's what we're called to, okay? God's word is vital in that. If we're not rooted and tethered in God's word, we're going to be pressured to give into the currents of culture that are going to pull us away from from God, they're going to pull us away from the gospel, okay? And I just want to say this as well. Those currents, right? Those currents exist in both liberal and conservative streams. Those currents exist in Pride Month and QAnon, okay? Those currents are wherever you like to swim, those currents exist. So you be aware of them, okay? And if we're not constantly rooted and tethered in the Word of God, we're going to be pressured to give in and let the current take us away from God and the gospel, okay? So now let's look at verses 5 through 12, and we're going to pick up speed here. We're going to move very quickly. Next slide. The fourth truth that guides us and strengthens us to live faithfully to the end. God is in control and he's on time. Verses 5 through 12. Follow along with me. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on the bank of the stream and the other on the bank of the stream. These are angels. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, one of the angels, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Right? Good question. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever that it would be for a time and times and time and time and a, or times time and a half a time, or times time and a half, okay? We've already seen that in Daniel 7. We've seen it in Revelation 12. We've seen and talked about how that naturally seems to be 3.5 years in length, which is the length of the tribulation, the hard part of the tribulation that the people of God will endure at the end, whether those are just Jews or whether those are, it depends on how you see the rapture and all that kind of thing, but times and a half a time, okay? 3.5 years is the length of the tribulation that God's people will endure at the end when the Antichrist rises, okay? And then he goes on and he says, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. Verse 8, Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. Well, he's not alone, okay? And then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. He's like, it's not your deal. Go your way. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are still are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now, here's how I want to focus on this quickly. God is in control, and he's always on time. He's always in control, and he's always on time. Okay? Believing this, family, is going to produce joy in your life, in my life, contentment, and peace. Okay? Many of us look around, and these things terrify us. Many of us look around at the world, we look into the scriptures, we become obsessed with the details of prophecy, and you know what? The fruit of that, it's not contentment and joy and peace. It's fear, and it's anxiety, and it's a need to control, okay? So many of us in our lives, we look around and we see the future as uncertain. It's not uncertain to God, but it's uncertain to us, right? So we believe we have to be the ones in control. This is something that God has really, it's like a jackhammer at the root. Has God ever been in that place where it's just like, he's like, I'm not letting you go anywhere. I've got the jackhammer out, and we're gonna take care of the root of this idol. Control. That's where God's got me right now, right? But maybe he's got you there too. And maybe that's part of what this season's about, family, for us as the people of God. We believe we have to be the ones in control because this seems uncertain to us. And that means that we have to take things into our own hands, and we have to make things happen according to our timetables. And that produces anxiety. Okay? 1,290 days. 1,335 days. We could talk about that for an hour. But you know what? It's not one day longer than God has decreed. Let's keep it there for right now. Not one day more than God has decreed. He's always on time. Mark Johnson, he likes to wear a shirt that says, "Spoiler alert, God wins." You know, that might seem simple or cliche, but I mean, that's the message of Daniel. Not one more day than is in God's plan. Remember, he has a plan. It's all part of the plan, right? We can trust in the plan. God wins. In Christ, our future is secure. And so that brings security. All right, last point, fifth and final truth. As we land the plane of Daniel, faithfulness to the end is worth it. That's the last truth that will guide us, will anchor us, will give us hope and joy and peace and confidence as we move ahead. Faithfulness to the end is worth it. Look at verse 13, last verse of the book of Daniel. "But go on your way till the end." This is an 85 to 90-year-old man. "All right, Daniel, go on your way to the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." Go on your way, Daniel. Keep going in this faithful way that you've lived your whole life. You keep going, Daniel. Go on your way. He's in his final years, but his journey in Babylon isn't finished yet. One thing I love about y'all who I'm looking at right now, who are retirement age, I don't see any of you retiring. You might stop working at the job you were working at. You don't retire, you just reinvest. I love that about you. I love how you reinvest your lives for God's kingdom, and you see value and you see purpose where you're at. That's inspiring to me. I want to be like you. Okay? When I get into that next season, and it's coming. But yeah, Daniel's in his final years, but his journey in Babylon isn't finished, and neither is ours, whatever season we're in. Okay? There's still more miles to go. Walking in God's presence, living for God's glory, following Jesus. More miles to go. Okay? And when it's time, God's going to take Daniel home, and then he will rest. He'll enjoy complete rest. Okay? Because God will still be with him, and he'll receive his inheritance as God's beloved son. That's true of us. It's true for you, and it's true for me. It's true for all of us who are in Christ, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because of what he's done, and because of what we've done, put our faith in Jesus, and we've responded to follow him, okay? That's true for you and me, whether you're 10 years old and you're just beginning that journey, right? Or you're 100 years old, and you're looking forward to finishing the journey, right? It's true of you. It's true of me. Keep going on your way, family. Let's keep going on our way together, okay? Walking in his presence, living by his grace and in his grace. Let's keep going on our way, treasuring his word, living by it. That's what we're going to talk about this summer. New series starting next week. It's called Rooted. We're going to root down in the truths that nourish us and anchor us, and anchor a living faith in a dying world, right? So let's keep going on our way, treasuring his word, living by it, shining the light of the gospel in the darkness, leading many to follow Jesus. Let's keep going, okay? And it's worth it. You know why it's worth it? Because something glorious is on the horizon. That's why it's worth it. And it's because he's worth it. Amen? Amen. All right. Thus ends the study of Daniel on Sunday mornings. We're going to transition into a time of communion from this, and I'm going to invite Becky and Chloe to come up, and they're going to sing for us as we just meditate and spend a little time in prayer and just kind of transition from where we're at now to where we're going on the table. And I just want to encourage you that as you think about this message, as you think about the book of Daniel and some of the big truths or big takeaways, as you listen to the song, what is the Spirit of God speaking to you? How is the Spirit of God working in your life? What is it that he wants you to receive this morning? And what is it that he wants you to respond to this morning as we prepare for the table? I'm going to pray for us, and then they're going to sing. Father, God in heaven, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your nearness to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord God, Lord Jesus, for taking on a human nature and stepping into this world, this fallen, broken, dark world. To do what we could never do, to seek and save us. We could never find our way back to you. Thank you for coming to seek and save us, and not just to save us from something, but to save us into your family, to reconcile us back to you, to make us sons and daughters and unite us as a family. Thank you for that work. Thank you for the security that we know in you, that our future is sure, that our inheritance is waiting for us, and that, Lord, there is peace, there is joy, there is contentment now. This transcends our circumstances as we follow you. Thank you, Lord, for all those things, and prepare our hearts. And Holy Spirit, speak and move now as we take a moment and we listen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.